This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful bye week Friday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we are going to talk college basketball with someone from Sports Illustrated. You might have heard this, but Kansas has a very important game coming up later today against North Carolina. We get a chance to see the potential number one overall pick in next year's NBA draft go on the road and play another blue blood school. Very excited to see that matchup coming up later today. That game, I believe, is going to be on ESPN, a game in which only some of us are going to see, and we will talk about that coming up in a bit. We're going to head to Columbia to be joined by Brandon Kylie. Missouri plays Texas A&M. They have a new quarterback, certainly not by choice. Matt Zollers is going to start for them, the true freshman out of Pennsylvania. We also are going to take a trip to Denver, Colorado to recap their win on Thursday Night Football against the Las Vegas Raiders. We're actually going to begin today's show talking about the Denver Broncos, but before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember to stop by and see our friends over at the other place. Maybe you don't have somewhere to watch Kansas against North Carolina. Well, then go stop by the other place. Go get yourself a cold beer. Get yourself something to eat. Sit down. Watch a little basketball. I'm telling you, it will be worthwhile for one of the best early season matchups that we have in the sport. All right. This is something that we have been discussing on this show. This is something that we have been debating on this show for weeks now. I have been asking you guys the question, are the Broncos good? And sometimes I feel it is very easy to just simply hide behind a team's record and say, well, of course they are. They're 8-2. But we watch these games. You guys know football. I know football. We know football together. So I'm asking you for this to really open up your eyes and open up your mind with what you know about the National Football League, what you know about this sport, and what you've seen. Do you think the Broncos are good? I don't care what their record is. Do you think the Broncos are a good team? Because since they went on the road and beat the Philadelphia Eagles, these have been their wins. 13-11 against the New York Jets. The Jets are terrible. The Jets just quit on their season. It was 13-11 against the worst team in the National Football League. They had to score 33 points in the final quarter against the New York Giants, another bottom five team in the National Football League, and they beat them by 1 point. Now, I give them credit. They have the Cowboys at home, and boy, did they pummel on the Dallas Cowboys and that cupcake defense. Then they played Houston. They beat Houston by 3 points. They played the Las Vegas Raiders in one of the most uninspiring, unenthusiastic, boring football games that I've seen in quite some time. I don't know if the Broncos won as much as the Raiders did quite possibly everything that you could do to lose a football game. From penalties to getting touchdown called back to turnovers to mistakes after mistake after mistake, the Broncos narrowly and sleepwalk through beating one of the worst teams in the National Football League. So I stand here before you asking you the exact same question. Do you think the Broncos are good? Because I'm out. Now, I acknowledge that team is going to make the postseason, but I'm talking about, are you good? Like, are you a Super Bowl contending team? Can you really make noise? Are we talking about you like you got a chance to represent the AFC in San Francisco? And I'm here to tell you, as we are halfway done with the NFL season, as we are a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving, my answer with the Broncos is no. You've been playing like this for a month. You have one good win so far this season. Now, we'll see what happens next week against Kansas City. You still got to play Green Bay. You still got to play the Chargers. So there's time. But I'm watching an offense right now that has been struggling for over a month now. I'm watching a quarterback that has not shown me any growth, has not taken a step forward. I don't know how we can sit here and in good confidence say that you've been watching this Broncos team and feel like they can win the Super Bowl. This feels like smoke and mirrors. I've seen this team before. I remember a decade ago when the Chiefs started 9-0 when we all knew, hey, that's not real. And then look what happened. Remember the Pittsburgh Steelers a few years ago? Was that the COVID season when the Steelers got off to a really good start and none of us really believed and trusted that team, and then it fell apart in the second half of the season? This was the comparison that was made by somebody who covers the Denver Broncos. This analogy was not made by me. This is somebody who watches the team in and out, somebody who does radio in Denver. He called them the 2022 Minnesota Vikings.
What I would say for the Broncos is sometimes when you see a lot of these types of results, sometimes I do wonder, is this a little bit like the 2022 Vikings, for example, that they won an awful lot of close games in the regular season as a team that was emerging, and then they got into the playoffs, they played the Giants in the first game, and they lost. I mean, is it a team like that, or is it a team that keeps on winning as they get into December and into the postseason? I think that's a question that I'm not sure that we have the answer to right now.
I'm not here to tell anybody how they should feel about the Denver Broncos. If you've been watching this team and you think the Broncos are real, if you think the Broncos are legit, if you think they can win the AFC West, if you think they can win the championship, hey, we are allowed to disagree about football teams. I'm telling you based on what I've seen, sitting down and watching this team and going through their record with a fine-tooth comb, I think they have spent all day sparring with the puppies. So I don't trust them to be able to run with the wolves at night. I don't think we're watching a good football team. I think they are a good defense that has taken advantage of a great schedule. And when they have played, for the most part, teams that have a pulse, they have made mistakes at the end of the game to lose. That's what happened against Indianapolis. That's what happened against the Chargers. They caught the Eagles at the absolute perfect time to catch them. And I'm not here to poke holes in the Eagles win. That's a good win. You go on the road and you beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Since then, you have given me nothing to believe in. Nothing. So I'm out. The answer for me is no. I don't think the Broncos are a good team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contending team. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I think it is something that eventually it is a house of cards that is going to come crumbling down right before us. So I want you to mark this. I want you to remember this. And if I'm wrong, make fun of me. But that's how I feel about the Denver Broncos after sitting there and watching them on Thursday Night Football. I want to read this to you because we haven't spent a lot of time talking about this. And honestly, the reason we have is it hasn't really affected me yet. So last weekend, I just didn't watch a lot of college football. I went to one of my friend's games. He's an assistant coach over at Pitt State. So I just was out and about. Missouri had a bye week, so I just didn't watch a lot of college football last week. And then when I got in front of the television, I started watching Game 7 of the World Series. So I just didn't watch a whole lot of college football. So it didn't really matter what was on ESPN, what was on ABC. It just really wasn't part of my day. I wasn't super interested in Cowboys and Cardinals on Monday Night Football because the Cardinals stink and so do the Cowboys. So it hasn't really affected me so far. I have not noticed that we don't have ESPN and we don't have their plethora of channels. Well, now it matters. Friday night, you got Kansas and North Carolina. Saturday, you got Texas Tech and BYU. I mean, you got big-time games. Patrick Mahomes is the celebrity guest picker on ESPN's College Game Day. Monday Night Football might be the biggest regular season game in the NFC between the Packers and the Eagles. And wait, you're telling me this service that I pay $82 a month for, I can't watch the games? When YouTube TV, their number one draw is that it is the live sports app. You got the multi-view and you got things going. You aren't watching Desperate Housewives with the multi-view. No, you're watching sports. You got the NFL Sunday Ticket. You got the multi-view. And you know when you got that thing going and you can watch all the games, it's beautiful. That's why I have YouTube TV. But as I've been doing more reading in this and just trying to update myself and try to stay knowledgeable on what's going on, they're not fixing this anytime soon. I want to read this to you. YouTube TV has called out Disney for leaking documents to the press and negotiating in public through their paid talent. I mean, we know that Disney and ESPN is doing that. Go on an ESPN personality social media page. It has been nonstop propaganda. Hey, be sure to go on this website, keepmynetworks.org. No, I'm not going on this website. You figure it out. We got other stuff to worry about. I pay you guys enough money. Why can't you guys come together, give us our channels, and we can all go on with our lives? Listen to this. Quote, once again, Disney is resorting to their old tactics like leaking documents to the press, negotiating in public through their paid talent, and misrepresenting the facts, including from the deals they've offered and taking credit for our product proposals. Our team stands ready to make a fair agreement in line with their deals and other distributors, and we encourage Disney to come to the table and do what's best for our mutual customers. No one is winning, only we are losing. I don't care about the television ratings of these shows. I mean, it sounds good to talk about and it's good talking points, but I ain't getting no points off the package. I don't care how many people watch BYU and Texas Tech, it don't matter to me. But I know I want to be a part of the people that get a chance to watch it. And I shouldn't have to resort like this is a UFC pay-per-view or a big boxing match. I shouldn't have to pull up the Fire Stick to watch the games that I'm already paying for. I shouldn't have to go on the internet and use a VPN to be able to watch the games that already should be included in my monthly subscription. So at this point, I don't care whose fault it is. I mean, I think it's more ESPN, Viacom, and Disney's fault. I think they're trying to hold YouTube TV hostage. We want to start our own standalone app, so we're going to hit you up for a little bit more because you need us, we believe, way more than we need you. But 10 million people have YouTube TV. Right now, it is the second largest cable provider in the country, and I'm guessing, through time, it is going to pass Spectrum as number one, who has 12 million people that have signed up for it. So what are we doing here? Get back on the same page. Give us our shows back. Give us our games back. Give us our television back. Because that's what we're paying for. I don't care whose fault it is. Just fix it. It's like when you got your two young kids fighting in the back. He started it. He started it. I don't care. Apologize to your brother. You apologize to your brother. Stop fighting. And I want some peace and quiet. That's how I feel when it comes to this negotiation right now between YouTube TV and Disney. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Bo Nix, who has been playing like a scrub. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back into the show. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll talk about tonight's basketball game between Kansas and North Carolina. Rob informs me that we have more Darren Peterson propaganda that we have to share with you guys. I told Rob that I will give him his time every week to talk about Darren Peterson. It makes even more sense now that we are in season. It was one thing he was trying to do that in September, you know? He was trying to do that on like October 4th. All right, now it's time. They got North Carolina coming up. We'll play the Darren Peterson propaganda coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, Rob, let's talk about the Denver Broncos and their Thursday night football win over the Las Vegas Raiders. So if you eliminate the end of game drive when the Broncos are putting the game away, but maybe you got to count. I mean, they ran 10 plays on that drive. So that's not just that we're going to knee the clock out. So maybe we should count it. The Broncos had 13 drives on Thursday night. Seven of them ended because of a three and out. Seven. The Broncos have put one touchdown drive together in their last 17 drives. If you go back to the game against the Houston Texans, their offense was awful yesterday. Really, really bad offensively. And for a team that I think they got just about everything you would need on offense. I like their run game. Now we'll see what happens with J.K. Dobbins. He's dealing with an injury, but I mean, you had to know at some point that was going to happen. He is always dealing with some kind of injury. I like their tight end. I think they got capable wide receivers. They've invested heavily in their offensive line. They got a good defense. I like their head coach. I mean, the Broncos, in theory, they got almost everything you think they would need, except their quarterback. Now, this is what I was fearful of whenever Bo Nix was a prospect. He never really wowed me a whole bunch. I mean, I thought he was fine, but I always questioned what the ceiling was. Last year, Bo Nix was great last season. Really caught us off guard, I would say. This season, this is kind of what I expected. You guys know, if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, I am really, really big on completion percentage and yards per attempt. He is completing 60% of his passes. That's not good at this stage in his career. Not with that offensive line, those running backs, those weapons. 60% when the average is 64, that ain't good. His yards per attempt is 6.1. Also not good for a quarterback at this stage. I don't care that he's top four, top five in touchdown passes. You got to use your instincts is what I'm talking about. You got to use your instincts. Is that what you're seeing right now from Bo Nix? Are you seeing top quarterback production, or do you see a quarterback right now that appears to be holding back his team offensively? I mean, you have every advantage given to you. I've seen Sean Payton's handiwork. Again, mentioning the weapons, I think you got all the weapons in the world. Right now, the Broncos' biggest problem in their offense is their quarterback doesn't appear to be good enough.
And it appears he's regressing. Like, there, it was fair to, at this time last year, have questions of Bo Nix, but he was winning and he was playing pretty good football last year. And you felt like, oh, as a rookie, as a quarterback in Sean Payton's system, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, but he was successful in year one. Watch out for year two. He has not taken that step forward at all in year two. It has been regression city. And I know the Broncos are 8-2, but me and you see the Broncos the same way. They don't have a quarterback. Now, they might legitimately have the best defense in football. Like, that defense is Super Bowl caliber.
It's very good.
No doubt in my mind. But in 2025, 2026, can you win a Super Bowl without competent quarterback play? I'm not talking about just getting average quarterback play. They're getting bad quarterback play. Bo Nix looks like Bo Nix from Auburn, not Bo Nix from Oregon. He has been real bad for the Broncos. And honestly, I don't mind it as a Chiefs fan, but I don't understand how it happened. He looked pretty good last year. He has an offensive-minded coach. They have good weapons, and he's just been bad, real bad. Like, a lot of terms to describe, like, any analogy you want, trash, whatever. That's what he has been this season. It's just been really bad football from a player that I thought could take a step forward in 2025.
And if you want to look at some of the numbers that Bo Nix has accumulated so far through the first 10 games of the season, Bo Nix is 29th in yards per attempt. That ain't good. Bo Nix is 29th in completion percentage. Also not good. He is 27th this season in quarterback rating. Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, Bo Nix is 85.7. Joe Flacco has an 83 quarterback rating. Now, I'm not telling you that Joe Flacco and Bo Nix are even. I'm just telling you that based on the numbers, based on their ratings, Bo Nix and Joe Flacco have played very similar styles of football this year. In fact, Joe Flacco only has 60 less passing yards than Bo Nix does this season. He has a higher completion percentage than Bo Nix, a higher yards per attempt than he does. I mean, they've been very, very similar. Bo Nix has just not played consistently well, and we know to navigate the AFC, you are going to have to get good, capable quarterback play. And so far, that's just not what they have gotten, not at all. Here is Stephen A. Smith talking about the Broncos offense. Let me tell you, it ain't good.
I watched this Denver Broncos offense go three and out like eight different times, punt the ball like seven different times. And I said, my God, this looks atrocious. This is the leaders in the AFC West. Then I started remembering, wait a minute, Kansas City's a couple of games back and they got not one, but two games against Denver coming up. Now, I know this defense is real and they're leading the league in sacks. You know, they got at least 12 to 14 sacks ahead of anybody else in the National Football League. And if you can get to the quarterback, which they can do, okay, you know that you can make things happen for yourself. And obviously the Denver Broncos can do that. So you can't rule out the possibility that they could beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But it doesn't take away from the fact that their offenses look like straight trash. And when you think of, I'm thinking about Cortland Sutton. I'm thinking about him having like three catches. Eight catches for 121 yards over the last three games. Last night, three catches for 24 yards. I'm looking at Bo Nix complete just 56% of his passes over the last four games. And then I'm looking at the talent that they've got on their squad. The J.K. Dobbins, the R.J. Harveys of the world, Sutton I already have mentioned, Franklin as well. You've got talent. And then I'm thinking about, this is a Super Bowl champion coach we're talking about in Sean Payton, who is known for his offensive genius, and he's the play caller. I was happy to hear him say he has to do better because he has to do better.
That was Stephen A. Smith on First Take. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. I don't want to overreact. I understand that these standalone games on national TV, they just kind of, they lead themselves to this. It is much more than just one game on Thursday Night Football to me with the Broncos. They've been playing like this for a month. a 2-point win against the Jets, a 1-point win against the Giants, a 3-point win against the Las Vegas Raiders, a last-second field goal against the Houston Texans. You ain't playing like a Super Bowl contending top-notch team. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. That's what I'm seeing from this Broncos team. I'm just not impressed. We'll see what they look like against Kansas City. The schedule is about to tighten up. They play Green Bay again, but just so far, this playing like that, you don't beat Kansas City. I don't care where that game is. You don't beat Green Bay playing the way that they have played these last handful of games against the opponents that they've been playing against. Coming up in just a bit, we are going to be joined by someone from Sports Illustrated to get you ready for college basketball coming up tonight between Kansas and North Carolina. Rob, go ahead. I already know. I see you. You look giddy. You look giddy to play this audio. I haven't heard it. You didn't let me hear. You said, no, wait, I'll play it. Go ahead and play it. Tell me who this is. What is it about? It's something Darren Peterson related.
So first things first, I don't know why we didn't leave with Darren Peterson. Today should be 4 hours of Darren Peterson, but for some reason, the Broncos and the AFC West are the lead. Whatever. This is Bill Simmons, one of the best voices in sports media, talking again. This is a different cut from Bill Simmons, talking about the greatest college basketball freshman we have ever seen.
The Kansas kid might be the best guard prospect since Vince Carter, or even go back to Kobe. Like, that's potentially how good he is, Peterson.
You hear that? Not just Kobe, Vince Carter or Kobe. He might be the best college guard we've seen since them. That's how good he is. He plays basketball in a game that matters against an elite team in like, what, 3.5 hours? And for some reason, we're 27 minutes into the show and he hasn't popped up once, not once yet. So you know what? I'm going to let you talk about the phenom while I get Kevin Sweeney of Field of 68 on the show. He wrote an article for SI where he got quotes from people all over the country, which included CJ McCollum, NBA superstar, who said he could have been a pro at this time last year when he was in high school. Go ahead, talk about the greatest player locally we have playing hoops.
Okay, let me hear this whole thing, because something tells me you cut it off and I didn't get a chance to hear the whole context. I didn't get a chance to hear it. Can you hit it again? Let me hear the full context of it.
The Kansas kid might be the best guard prospect since Vince Carter, or even go back to Kobe. Like, that's potentially how good he is, Peterson. And then DeBanza, and then Boozer's son, the power forward, Cam.
Awesome.
Cam Boozer.
Awesome.
Those three are all franchise guys.
Okay. You know what? I'm just going to reserve my comments. We're just going to forget Kyrie Irving happened during this time. We're going to forget that John Wall happened during this time. Okay. Best guard prospect since Kobe or Vince Carter, we are hearing. I mean, Russell Westbrook came out during this time. James Harden, seems like there's been a lot. Ja Morant, best guard prospect since Kobe or Vince Carter. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Kevin Sweeney. He's with Field of 68. He's also with Sports Illustrated. He recently wrote a piece on Darren Peterson. Kevin, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So let's start with this. You talked to people around the game, people in the game about Darren Peterson and the kind of prospect he was. What did you hear?
Yeah, I had one NBA scout tell me he's the best guard prospect in a decade. Some are a little stronger on that. Some are a little softer, right? You get guys like Cade Cunningham and Anthony Edwards that I think were viewed very highly, but obviously it's, what Darren has accomplished in high school, AAU, internationally, and now here early in his college career has been remarkably impressive and has really moved the needle with NBA folks. His upside is just so high.
When you watched him play, is there a certain player that comes to mind? Like, I remember last year when Cooper Flagg, we were having these conversations, a lot of people used the term Kevin Garnett. Hey, he reminds me of KG. When you watch Darren Peterson, is there somebody that comes to mind?
You know, I think he moves and, like, the flow that he plays with is very similar to Devin Booker. I think there he pulls from different guys. I think he has the ability to draw fouls sort of like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Tyrese Maxey, another guy. But, I think Booker is probably the most seamless comparison in my eyes.
right now. We're talking to Kevin Sweeney with Field of 68 and SI. How do you feel about this Kansas team as a whole? We'll talk more specifically about this game and this individual matchup, but I mean, there's a lot of turnover on this Kansas squad, which might be a good thing after the year that they had. They have a very talented freshman. You have a couple of other nice prospects around them, but this isn't your typical conventional Kansas team. How do you feel about them heading into the season?
Yeah, you know, I've been more optimistic than maybe the national narrative has been, right? I think when you have an off season that was maybe a little bumpier than people expected, didn't have the portal success some people hoped for. I think, especially nowadays, like we get so worked up about like what does a team accomplish in the portal, and like that's how you're ranked. And I think, you know, for Kansas, it wasn't necessarily about going and getting stars. They already had one in Darren and potentially another in Flory, but you know, what guys could fit, and I think Melvin Council has proven to be a fit. We'll see if some of the other guys, like a Dawson and a Trey White, can get it together. I do worry a little bit about the shooting. I worry a little bit about, you know, having to play some smaller lineups at times and how that impacts them defensively, although Flory can erase a lot of that at the rim. So you're cautiously optimistic is probably the best way of putting it at the moment. Obviously, we'll learn a lot tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're a team that's based around a freshman guard, there's going to be a lot of growth as the season progresses. Do you see Darren Peterson as a guy that can kind of get his teammates involved and make them better? We know that we have seen there are certain guards that they elevate everybody. The rising tide lifts all boats. Do you see him as that guy that can maybe carry a roster that's not overloaded with superstars, but they got him and that's all you really need?
Yeah, I mean, he'll attract so much attention, and it's the real test for him will be how comfortable is he when teams do everything they can to take him out of the game? How comfortable is he setting up others? You know, he has a really mature approach. One of the things that I was talking to him about was, you know, I asked him, like, who's your favorite NBA player to watch? He said, like, recently, I don't have one guy. I try to watch the best player on every team and see how they're guarded because I know that's what I'm going to deal with this year. Like, every blitz, every hedge, everything they can do to force the ball out of the star player's hands, like that's what I need to learn how to do. And I think he's shown tremendous progress in that regard. But he is still, I think, learning as a playmaker and growing. And I think there will probably be some growing pains with that, especially if teams don't respect the rest of Kansas's roster from the perimeter and can kind of pack the paint outside of them.
Right now, we're talking to Kevin Sweeney with Field of 68 and SI. In terms of a prospect, are we looking at him as a better prospect than Cooper Flagg? Are we looking at him as a better prospect than Zion? Like, you cover this sport. Zion was viewed coming out of high school as just a can't miss. I've never seen anything like this. Cooper Flagg, we've been talking about Cooper Flagg since he was 14 years old, and we saw the kind of season that he put up. Are we talking about that level of prospect that Darren Peterson is?
I think so. I think Darren and A.J. DeBanza at BYU and maybe potentially Cameron Boozer as well would all be in like the Flag level prospect tier. Doesn't mean that like they'll have the years in college that Cooper had. Doesn't mean, you know, like there's a lot that we will learn over the next, you know, whatever, 9 months until draft day. But, you know, I think it's fair to say based on what he's accomplished that he's on that tier, like that, like clear alpha, you know, potential best player on a team in the NBA at some point guy. I think in some ways Darren's like translation to the NBA is probably smoother because he is that like primary ball handler guy that you can run an offense and build a team around. Whereas Cooper, like, yeah, he was unbelievable in college and he's going to have a great NBA career. There's no question about it. But the question with him was the ceiling. Like, is he someone that you're building your franchise around as the best player? And I think Darren would be very high on the list of non-Wembanyama prospects to hit the NBA over the last several years.
I looked at Joe Lunardi's bracketology. I know it's super early on, but I was just curious kind of where he had KU pegged. He has them pegged as a 6 seed heading into the year. Do you think that's too high, too low, or just right for KU?
I would say too low, largely because they're just going to have so many opportunities to stack good wins. Right. Okay. Let's see. Let's say they lose tonight against Carolina. You turn around. All right. Well, in a week we get to go play Duke at the Garden, and then, you know, Players Era, and you go like in the Big 12 schedule. Like, they're going to end up with a strong resume, even if there's bumps in the road. We've seen that the last couple of years. I mean, this was a 7 seed last year, and it felt like the world was burning down half the time. Right. Like, I think they end up being a top 3 to 4 seed when it's all said and done, but yeah, obviously the schedule being as good as that also makes it unforgiving. And if they do hit rough patches, you know, there's not going to be a lot of easy nights to dig you out of the hole.
I feel like the first 30 days of the college basketball season now are just so much about discovery, whether it comes with freshmen, the transfer portal. You look up and there's a kid that was really good at Arizona last year. I'm like, oh, wait, that kid transferred to North Carolina. It's just like figuring these things out. Who do you like tonight in this matchup between KU and North Carolina? Just coming into it, I don't know much about either one of these teams, and we're going to find out.
Yeah, look, I think both coaches probably feel the same way. Like, they like their groups. They like, you know, their talent level, but they don't know how their group's going to respond in these moments. And I think we'll learn a lot about both. I lean towards Kansas in this game. I think their physicality will help them. I'm not sure how tough this North Carolina group is. I'm not sure that they have someone that can really guard Darren. I'm not sure many people do. But you know, I think if you're playing against him, you'd love to have maybe a little more rim protection than what Carolina has. But it should be an awesome one. And again, I think we'll learn a lot about both teams.
I'm just happy that these games are happening on campus. I mean, I love the games that happen at Barclays Center or the Maui Invitation or Madison Square Garden. But, you know, there's something special about these home and homes and allowing students the opportunity to be able to go. I'm happy that this game's played on campus.
Yeah, 100%, right? And, you know, I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that. I do think we're actually going to see more and more big-time on-campus games because of the NIL and rev share world. In the NIL world, there was value in playing them on neutrals because in some cases you could kind of funnel money to your players through that. Now, I think there will be a more of an emphasis on playing more high-level home games because you make money off those, right? Like, a game like this for Carolina is going to be a huge night financially, you know, with tickets and parking and drinks. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, things like the Maui Invitational are struggling right now is because programs sit there and say, well, why would we play three games and lose money in Maui if we can play, you know, one or two bye games and then one or two high level games in our home gym and really not only boost our resume, but also give our fans a great experience and make some money while we do it.
I'll get you out of here with this. We always love asking our basketball guests this question. Who's the best high school prospect that you've seen over your time covering the sport? Who is that kid that you were convinced this kid's going to be good? Like, I remember seeing Shabazz Muhammad when he was at UCLA, and I'm just thinking, man, this guy's got a chance to be a really, really good NBA player, like watching him in college. And then when he gets to the NBA, it just didn't pan out. Who was the best prospect you've seen? Who's somebody that you swore they were going to be a good NBA player, and it just didn't work out?
The busts are always a hard one to find. I'm trying to think of a good one, a good example of that. I mean, I still think the most dominant AAU player was Cade Cunningham, and he's finally started to figure it out in the NBA after a couple bumps. Markel Fultz is probably the easiest answer. I didn't see a world where he wasn't going to be great, both in college, in high school, and then at Washington, and just never came together.
That is Kevin Sweeney joining us on the show. He's with Field of 68 and Sports Illustrated. We got a great one tonight between Kansas and North Carolina on the hardwood, two of the greatest programs in the history of the sport. Kevin, great stuff, man. Looking forward to a great game tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That is Kevin Sweeney joining us on the show with Field of 68. Rob, in terms of buzz, hype, and anticipation, where are you at right now? I feel like you're at a 13. I've never seen you act like this for a KU basketball player.
I mean, it's just there's something different about Darren Peterson. And it's not, I think part of the allure, part of the excitement among KU fans is that last year was a down year and it wasn't up to expectation. And it did feel like a massive letdown and all those things. And it felt like you kind of got sold a bill of goods on Hunter Dickinson and these transfers. Man, the hype around Darren Peterson has expanded beyond just the KU sphere. Like, you talked to like a Brian Haney or a Greg Gurley. Okay, they're excited. I get it. Now you're having Kevin Sweeney. Now you're having, you know, Bill Simmons. Now you're having, I know Doug Gottlieb is in the college. You're having these people talk about him like, okay, these are people who are outside of KU's little ecosystem saying, oh, he's different. And then you watch the two games he's played in and you can tell, oh, he is different. He just moves different. I don't know the team is Final Four good around him, but I know that he is a freak and is enjoyable to watch play.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for this weekend in college football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I want to tell you guys that today is a FanDuel Friday on the show. It is presented by FanDuel, of course, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. So, coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Brandon Kiley. We're going to talk a little Missouri and A&M. We'll get you ready for that matchup that's coming up on Saturday. But let's talk about it. I think there are 4 games of note this weekend in college football. The first game, the site of College Game Day, is BYU against Texas Tech. Rob, I'll defer to you on this one as our resident Big 12 expert. Texas Tech is 5-1. BYU is 8-0, 5-0 in the Big 12, undefeated so far this season. But Texas Tech, they are a massive favorite in this game. They're a 10.5-point favorite. How do you feel about BYU at Tech?
I feel like BYU has been a very nice story this year, but it's been a little bit, it's different than the Denver Broncos, but very Denver Broncos-ish, and I think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. I think they're a good team. I think they're kind of similar to last year's team, where they were really good early, kind of fell apart late, finished 9-3. That's how I feel about this year's BYU team. I think Texas Tech's about to maul them. Like, I don't know if you've seen the videos on social media. Texas Tech fans have been camping out outside the stadium since Tuesday. They got game day. They got Mahomes. They got special jerseys. They got their quarterback back and healthy. Like, this just feels like Texas Tech flexes on the national scale and BYU is helpless, and it's like 38-17 type of energy.
I mean, I'm looking right now at the ticket market for it. The cheapest ticket to get in for the game is at $375 right now, so the buzz and anticipation is incredibly high at Texas Tech. Last thing here on the Big 12, do you think right now the team that represents the Big 12 is between BYU, Texas Tech, and Utah? Am I about right there? Do you think there's any other team that could potentially pop into that race and maybe grab one of those playoff spots?
I think it's going to end up being Tech and Utah are the only two teams that can really do it, because I just think I don't think BYU is this good. Now, their schedule is advantageous. Even if they lose this weekend, it feels like they could then end up in Arlington for the Big 12 title game, but I don't know a two-loss BYU does it. I think Utah could sneak in to be like a 12 seed or maybe an 11 seed, because I guess Memphis will be a 12 seed in the college football playoff. But those are the three teams that are in the race. But I feel like in reality, it is if Utah can get their quarterback back and healthy and up and going with Devin Dampier, and then Texas Tech just looks like Texas Tech again, those are really the cream of the crop in the Big 12.
I don't know about you guys, but it stinks that LSU and Bama just doesn't have any importance anymore. Now, obviously, Alabama needs to win. Right now, they're ranked fourth in the rankings. But just, I mean, this used to be the one game that you had circled. This was the rivalry in college football a half decade ago. And right now, it just doesn't have any buzz, any juice. I mean, they're going to play this under the lights at night. It's on ABC. Half of us won't be able to watch it anyway on YouTube TV. And that's probably for the best. I wish I could come on here and tell you that I feel like Missouri is going to pull off the upset. I really wish I could tell you this. True freshman quarterback, offense has really been inconsistent in these games against the SEC. Very important game for Texas A&M, a team that I just think A&M's better than Missouri. I think they got a better coach. I think they got a better quarterback. I think they have more talent than Missouri. The only advantage to me for Missouri in this game is that they're at home, and I think their defense can keep the game interesting for a while. I just don't know if they got the right quarterback or the offense. I certainly hope that I'm wrong in what's going to happen and how it's going to play itself out, but I think you got to love A&M to go on the road and get this win over the Tigers.
I don't disagree with you, but you don't think that, you know, Eli Drinkwitz and co. could figure out some stuff to make Matt Zollers go after a bye week? Like, he did not look bad in the second half against Vanderbilt. He looked, considering the situation, you could argue that they probably could have won the game at certain points with him in. Now you get a bye week and you're at home. You don't think they can scheme something up to get him going, at least early, to get his confidence going and stay in the game? I agree with you, especially if A&M comes out early and, you know, scores fast and kind of puts it on Missouri, it could be an avalanche, but I can see a scenario with a week off in preparation and a kid with that much talent. You can make it go with Matt Zollers, at least for a little bit against A&M,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think you got to play a complete 60 minutes, and I just don't know, as a true freshman in the SEC who just didn't get a lot of reps for the most part, I just don't know if you're really capable at this stage in your career. I'm hopeful for the future. I thought he did some things very well against Vanderbilt a couple of weeks ago, going up against one of the five best teams in college football. I'm just not overly optimistic about this matchup when it comes to them. Do you think that Oregon is on upset alert? Because Oregon is going on the road at Iowa in Big Ten play, which still sounds very, very weird to say that Oregon is going on the road to play Iowa in a conference game. But we've seen this before. New environment, unfamiliar. I mean, it's going to be 42 degrees. I'm guessing it's not going to be the best weather, and Oregon goes on the road to play Iowa. I think we're looking at an upset alert here. I think Oregon is in for a fight.
So I actually, this by pure happenstance, this just came across my timeline. A lot of the college football people I follow are retweeting this. Hawkeye football has put out an alert saying, due to inclement weather tomorrow and a sellout crowd, they're encouraging fans to get in early due to the cold and potential snow that you are seeing tomorrow in Iowa for Iowa versus Oregon.
Oh, boy.
This has all the makings of an upset, right? Like, I know Oregon has all the talent in the world, and I really have a lot of respect for Dan Lanning. Is there anything on Oregon's resume that says, oh, they're a good team? Like, their best win is against a team that fired their coach 3 weeks later and might not make a bowl game. They have wins against Penn State. I mean, okay. They win against Rutgers. I mean, super. I mean, they don't have that wow win yet. The only team they've played in this echelon, Indiana, came into their house and beat them pretty easily. So I don't know that Iowa wins outright, but a snowy day against a solid defense, and Oregon might be a little propped up more name than game because their resume is kind of lacking. Like, Iowa's what, an 8.5-point dog? I could see a scenario where the Hawkeyes cover, and I could see a scenario where this game is ugly. Like, 20-17, Iowa plays their sort of game, and it's just an unpleasant game on the eyes, but Iowa comes out with the cover or even an outright upset.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get to Missouri's game against Texas A&M. That's probably one of the better games this weekend in college football, one of the better games in the SEC for sure. I want to ask you guys this question really quickly before we move on. I don't know the correct word to use to describe the Antonio Brown situation. All I know is that it's sad, just on a human level. Antonio Brown, for a stretch, from 2013 to 2018 was one of the best receivers that we had quite possibly ever seen. A surefire first ballot Hall of Famer and just an absolute machine. And since that season against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it has been a downward spiral the rest of the way. Basically, ever since he got traded from the Steelers. Remember, it was that weird stretch where he was on the Raiders and he was doing weird things back then. Remember, he went into that chamber and didn't put the right things on his feet, so his feet got messed up. And then he was upset about his helmet. Then he showed up in a hot air balloon. It has just been a lot of things around Antonio Brown. He had a relationship with Tom Brady and basically just turned his back on Tom Brady. That was very weird. And now he is being accused of an attempted murder. And looks like they got some pretty serious damning evidence that he could have possibly done this. Obviously, innocent until proven guilty. Let's see what happens. But you want to talk about a downward spiral where I don't know if Antonio Brown is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just, I understand that it is a football only thing. But I mean, we've seen the off the field stuff affect other people. I don't know how in good conscience you could vote for Antonio Brown right now. I know that he has far more serious issues than that. But I mean, this has been like a 1991 Mike Tyson whirlwind that has been around Antonio Brown for the last handful of seasons. So we'll see how this situation plays itself out. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Antonio Brown. So my understanding was he was at one of those streamer celebrity boxing events. One of the kids tried to run up and steal his jewelry. He got into a big fight. The fight was over. He had a gun. He was looking for some of these individuals, shot at him. They had him for attempted murder. He fled the country, went to Dubai. He was acting crazy over there in Dubai. They eventually tracked him down. They arrested him. They brought him back over here. And now we'll see what happens and how he gets tried. But just an absolute downward spiral over the last 5-6 years when it comes to Antonio Brown. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get you ready for one of the few ranked matchups that we have on Saturday between the University of Missouri and Texas A&M. Brandon Kiley set to join us on the show next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.